It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour. 7:02 is on assignment. Normally, it's no one's business. Who really cares where he is? He's not here. We want to listen to him. Well, 7:02 is where he belongs. He is at the NCAA track meet, which, if it isn't, it should be held every year at Eugene, Oregon, University of Oregon, because they love track and field. And so he's there, I'm assuming working for ESPN, but I don't even know who he's working for. I just know 7:02. If you had him 7:02, you should be at the NCAA track meet each year. So he is there and not available. Jason Wilde, who talks with John Anderson every Tuesday, the best segment of the show, will be here at normal at 5:15. And then Terrell Buckley, former Packer, the perfect person to talk to about Jair Alexander. Why is that, Pebble? Why should Terrell Buckley talk about Jair Alexander?
Because he was a cornerback himself?
Yes, one.
Because he coached Jair Alexander?
Yes, he did at Louisville. That's two.
Because he had contract issues with the Packers as well?
Well, you could say that, or the also accurate is both were high first-round picks that the Packers gave up on. For example, Terrell Buckley, 1992, the fifth overall pick. They bailed on him after how many years? And the team was good. How many years did they give Terrell Buckley? What do you say? Now, this is, I asked this question.
Was it five?
Three.
Three?
3 years. Gone. Not big enough. And so they drafted Craig Newsome, and he took his place, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. And Terrell Buckley missed out on the Super Bowl because Ron Wolf or Mike Holmgren said enough. Jair Alexander, Packers said enough. But how many years did he get? How many years did Jair get with the Packers before they bailed on him?
Was it five?
I believe it's seven.
Seven.
Look that up to make sure. I'm old. I could be wrong. So the Packers believed in Jair a lot more than the Packers believed in Terrell Buckley.
It was seven, yes.
Now the challenge, and I'm guessing that T-Buck, who's now the head coach at Mississippi Valley State, has, I would bet he's talked to him. But I could have told him what to say. Jair, all you got to do is do what I did after the Packers bailed on me. After the Packers bailed on him, he played for five other teams, added 40 more interceptions, finished with 50, tied for 35th best in the history of the NFL, 6 for touchdowns. That ties for 21st in the NFL. Numbers very similar to Packer great Herb Adderley. So all Jair, though he doesn't have as many years, has to do is, after he left the Packers, do what T-Buck did after he left the Packers. And Buckley did win a ring with New England, so he matched the number that the Packers got after they bailed on him. By the way, I always learn new stuff about T-Buck. Do you know what he's also special for, Pebble?
What's that?
He is the greatest player in terms of interceptions who played for 6 teams. Okay, he had 50. You know, the most any other player in the history of the NFL, how many interceptions by someone who played for 6 teams? He had 50. What do you think is next best? The issue is, if you play for 6 teams, what does that generally mean, Pebble?
It means you're a journeyman, you're not going to get much playing
time.
Good,
yeah. Yes. Next up, after T-Buck, most interceptions ever by a player with 6 teams. He had 50. What's next?
25.
32. Is it Stephon Gilmore?
Stephon Gilmore, yeah.
Yes, he's next. He played for 6 teams. Now, granted, I think I didn't look that close, but I think Buckley actually finished with the Giants or whatever. But, yeah, the challenge for Jair Alexander is, after the Packers bailed on him, to do what T-Buck did after the Packers bailed on him. All right. Do I think, since this is my first, 1-800-990-3776 until Jason Woolley comes on. We have all the comments by Goody. But please understand, Goody is very consistent. He believes in young players. He believes he's put a good team together. And when he said it's time for people to step up, he meant the players he drafted to step up to the level that he expected they could be at. And the Packers have been good under Goody, just not good enough. Packers have been good under LaFleur, just not good enough. And that's the challenge. And the challenge will be determined by if any or how many of the Packer players turn into stars. Because right now, I don't know who the stars. Who's the star on the Packer? Probably Jacobs or McKinney. I think McKinney was McKinney's second team. Was McKinney's second team All Pro last year? I think he might have been.
Yeah.
Again, there's a huge distinction. You don't even bring up Pro Bowls. Pro Bowls mean nothing anymore. I don't know how much they used to, but All Pro means they pick a team first team, and that's the top player at every position, and then you have a second team that I think Jair Alexander was second team All Pro twice early in his career. And now I don't even think Josh Jacobs is second team All Pro last year with the Packers. But I thought maybe Xavier McKinney. But that's the challenge. Is it possible? Yes, but it hasn't happened yet. And there were years when the Packers, as was mentioned, when I talked a couple of minutes ago, there were years. 2020 was it where they had certain Pro Bowlers, but you go back to 2010 and you got Aaron Rodgers and you got Charles Woodson and you got Clay Matthews. And who are the players at that level for the Packers right now? And they don't exist. They may be on the team, but somebody's going to have to elevate to that level for the Packers to be good enough, the way teams need to be good enough, to advance deep in the playoffs. They were talking about the odds. I believe the Packers are like 1,200, plus 1,200. And those teams don't win the Super Bowl very often. A couple have. The Rams were probably the biggest. They were just like plus 4,000 or something like that. It was just incredible. I had the list. I don't have it in front of me now. But so Jair is, that's how Goody goes. Is Goody willing to gamble on, well, Jair only is playing half the season, but we got a star in that half the season that he plays? And his answer was no. That's Goody. If you believe that you need stars, and the Packers certainly have the money, you'd have kept Jair. That's not how Goody rolls. And we'll see how it plays out. His complaint and concern about the injuries is accurate. Just hasn't played in that many games. But I'd go back and look, and I'll defer to somebody who looked on the tape. The question would also be, how well did he play when he played? There's certainly been some question about, since he had the injury, that he hasn't been as willing to tackle. I don't know how well anybody really tackles. It's just hard to guard people given and stay with people given the rules they have in the NFL. This is a hard question. Would I have brought Jair back? Yes, but not for what his contract was. We don't know what the Packers offered. I would have been willing to have people say you made a mistake again, unless, you know, if the defensive coordinator didn't want him or something like that. I would have been willing to risk the mistake. But I'm not going to say it's like a huge error, because if there's a huge error, it's whether or not you think the team can ever win with Goody the way he does things. And he's been good enough to justify being around. If they didn't make the playoffs this year, did we ask this question before? If the Packers don't make the playoffs this year, I'd still bring Goody back. I'd still bring LaFleur back. They've just been too good. That 1 year, refer to them as a failure. That would mean the assessment of some of their players. Put that up as the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Homer says, even if the Packers don't make the playoffs this season, he'd bring Goody and LaFleur back for another season. They have done it well enough to be able to survive one disappointing season. But if the person in charge said no, I've compared LaFleur for a long time to Steve Mariucci. Well, the 49ers got rid of Mariucci, and that didn't go well. So it's not like I think that what the Packers did is wrong. I'm just saying Mariucci then didn't do anything. So LaFleur has coached well enough to continue to still coach. And that'll be the case even if they're disappointing this year. I'm pretty certain I'll be in the minority if that occurs. But depending how it plays out, did people get hurt or were the players that Goody believed in not good enough? What did LaFleur do wrong? Or is Jordan Love not the quarterback of the future? But even with a bad year, he's played well enough to justify another year after this year. 1-800-990-3776. John Anderson at the NCAA Track Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Jason Wilde, and then Terrell Buckley. Hold on a second here. Tune in to Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary, learn about Dame's journey to becoming a top 75 player, and hear about the true origins of Bucks and Six culture. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Alex Strope was filling in for me yesterday. I was at the Camp One Step golf tournament, one of the more amazing places ever. They created a camp for kids that have cancer. Kids that have childhood cancer go to this camp. Who would ever let their kid with cancer go to a camp? Well, no one until Camp One Step came around. And how do they do it? Because they have like a million doctors there. They have all the meds. They have everything. And so parents are willing to let their kids who have cancer go to a camp. And guess who the counselors are at that camp? Kids that went to the camp when they had cancer and have survived. And they're the counselors. I mean, they are great causes. How can you have a better one than supporting that kind of a camp? So they have a golf tournament. They also have one in Chicago coming up in July. You just go to look, it's like camponestep.org or Camp One Step. But I'll miss the show every day, or I should say when they have the golf tournament every year. How can you do better? Well, the camp with kids that have childhood cancer. Really? Parents let them go? Yeah. And the counselors are the kids that had it, and they were in the camp, and now they're the counselors because they survived. Jason Wilde next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
He is Jason Wilde. I am Homer. I'm 70 years old. Never in my life can I remember a famous person being married for 4 months and no one knows what the spouse looks like. Aaron Rodgers has pulled it off again. How? Got me. I don't believe, unless someone can come up with another story, of anyone ever married for that long, famous, and no one had a single picture of the spouse. Good evening, Jason.
Hello, Steve.
Have you seen a picture of his spouse?
No.
I knew you wouldn't be as amazed as I am with that, but I stand by it. So he was married when he had the wedding ring on the Kentucky Derby. We know that. All right. We'll get to the Packers.
Yes.
Jaire Alexander And everything else.
Did that go the way you were expecting it to, that conversation?
Pretty much, yes. I thought there was a chance that maybe you had seen a picture. But even if you had, I assumed you'd say no. Because then that goes to even more questions. So there's Jair, but there's a lot more going on with the procedure, the Packers. And so everybody's talking. So take it away. What's at the top of your list on what you observed, learned, etc.?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, first of all, the Jair Alexander stuff is something, because I have less idea than ever before what the heck we were waiting for here.
I was going to be my follow up. What do you think?
Yeah,
hoping that Jair would take less.
No, because okay. So here was the crux of the entire thing, and when I say this, I probably need to move this quote up in my Channel 3000 story, because I said, hey, you know, do you feel like the offer you made to Jair was fair and you gave him, you know, the opportunity to make back whatever pay cut he would have taken by staying healthy? And he said, I'm not going to talk about the contract stuff, whether we did or didn't offer anything. I think there were conversations.
Oh.
But that wasn't something they wanted to do. So at the end of the day, we kind of really had to look and see if that was what we really wanted to do as well. So basically, based on that answer, Jair was never taking a pay cut. Never. He was not going to restructure his contract, at least as the general manager retells it.
Which just means so they were mean to him.
But my point is that if he was never willing to do that, then there's nothing to talk about, because he wasn't willing to do it for the Packers. And I think it was Tom Silverstein who reported this first, and I think it was Jordan Schultz who reported that the team was the Bills. But Tom Silverstein reported that they had a trade and that Alexander wouldn't restructure his contract to make the trade happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he wasn't going to restructure it for the Packers, and he wasn't going to restructure it for another team so he could be traded to them, this just in, he was never restructuring his contract. And by restructure, I mean accepting a pay cut.
Right,
and then
because,
being willing to
right, because he wanted to control where he's going. And that's this
right.
is the only way to do
what?
It.
Is this just vindictiveness that they held on to him? Is it unrealistic hope? Like, was it at some point they thought, well, maybe he'll soften his position? Like, just people, you know, people could say, I'm never going to do that, and then they end up doing it. So I think that's, you know, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, was there a need to rush? And he still has a ton of time, right? Or am I wrong with one of those comments?
I don't understand.
Well, he still has a ton of time to find a team. And
oh yeah, he's got plenty of time for that.
Right, like, and so what was the rush
for the Packers? They're nothing.
Okay,
I mean, but he would have, you know, if you're him, there's still time to find a team, but you would rather be available. The sooner the better to be available, right?
Yes,
because then you can you might have more offers. Like, so for him. That's what I mean. Like, I don't think it's vindictiveness per se, but the fact of the matter is that this was a stalemate that clearly was never going to change. I just don't see them as ever reaching an accord. And it took till, you know, June 9th for everyone involved to say, yeah, this ain't happening. And to me, that's just wild, because, you know, the way Goody answered those questions, He left very little room for misinterpretation. Like, he feels really good about the three guys that are going to be at the top of his depth chart, whether we agree with him or not, that he was never going to keep him on his current salary and just hope that he stayed healthy, quoting him again. For what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get on the field. I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off. So again, and look, the other part of this is, you know, they have $46 million in cap space. Now it's going to be less because, as we've subsequently learned, they talk to the league and they're going to take the entire hit. They're basically going to make this as if they cut him before June 1st. You know, a lot of other teams are trying to push post June 1 cuts. Hey, we want to designate this cut like Aaron Rodgers was for the Jets, a post June 1 cut so we get charged some of it this year and some of it next year. The Packers have so much cap space. They're like, hey, we cut him after June 1st, but we want you to go back in time and treat us like we cut him before June 1st, and we can count all of the dead cap money into this year's cap. Like, that doesn't happen. So they also don't, they clearly don't intend to spend money on anyone that they need that cap space for, like acquiring Trey Hendrickson or TJ Watt or, like, that's not surprising by any means, but it's still significant. So basically they're marshaling all their cap resources to, if they decide that one or two of these abundance of players that are in the final years of their contracts this year play at a level that they want to extend them, that then they'll do that. But, you know, they didn't need it. They don't need the cap space. They're going to burn the cap space this year with the dead money from him. They like the guys that they're going to have as their top three corners. You just set the guy free. And the other part, because I asked Goody, you know, by not being able to trade him, you obviously can't control where he goes. And again, his answer wasn't, at least to me, when you release good players, which we've done around here a lot, or when their contracts run out, that's a possibility. Again, I think that you're more concerned about your own football team and how that affects us. If we take care of us, I'm not concerned about those kinds of things. So he doesn't care where Jair goes. He wants to go to Minnesota? Great. He wants to go to Detroit? Great. He doesn't care. So if all this is how he truly feels, I just don't know why this took 5 months to arrive at this decision.
Is it fair to say, given your experience in the league, that in all situations, or almost all like this, the player was released a long time ago?
Yes. Yes. Because it had a... Here's the thing, if his argument was, and look, I am not criticizing Goody for this. Like, I think moving on from him is the right decision. And you don't owe him anything. I want to believe that it's not just pettiness that said, this guy took a bunch of money from us, never played, didn't play through injury, we're not going to set him free until we absolutely have to. I would like to believe that they would never do that. But this is the right decision. I don't have any problem with this decision. But, you know, the idea that it doesn't matter where he goes, okay, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, if he goes to a team that you're competing with in the NFC and he does stay healthy, there's one thing everybody agrees on. If the guy's healthy and if the guy's on the field, which are two enormous ifs, based on the way the last 4 years have played out. But if those two things are true, he's a damn good football player still. He's a problem. And not the kind of problem that goes out and appoints himself coin toss captain.
I would have gambled with him if he would have taken some less money. He wouldn't have had to take... It would have been... What was he going to get, 16?
16.
Yeah, I'd have given him 12. But,
yeah, I wonder if he would have been okay with that. But I think, you know, again, you know,
but
Rob
this is
DeMoss,
how Goody works. This is how he.
Yeah.
This is done exactly. He's been incredibly consistent as a general manager. He's not going to gamble. He's not going to gamble on the potential of greatness because he does not believe greatness is necessary to win a title. A good team is
He would rather gamble on a guy who is unproven taking a big jump than gamble on a guy who has had injuries or behavioral issues or whatever it might be, a veteran guy. He is in no way interested in gambling on that guy, either staying healthy when he hasn't been able to or being productive when he hasn't been able to or not being a problem in the locker room when he hasn't been able to.
I had to look this up because maybe you'd remember. I didn't, because Terrell Buckley's going to be on a little bit because I thought he'd be the perfect person to talk to because the Packers bailed on him. But much sooner, on April the 3rd, 1995, April, the Packers traded him to the Miami Dolphins for pass considerations. And I would say the situation was similar. Ron Wolf said, I need a bigger cornerback, Craig Newsome. And even though Buckley had been the fifth pick in the draft, he was, I got to move on. And Buckley did what did afterwards. But that was April. Yeah. This could have been done conceivably in April as well, right? Situation was similar.
All right. First of all, in fairness to your friend Terrell Buckley,
yes,
there's no doubt that he went on to a much better career than it appeared he was going to have in his 3 years in Green Bay.
Agreed.
Secondly, that doesn't change the fact that Wolf should have taken Troy Vincent instead of him.
That is also correct. Yes,
but that pass considerations thing used to be a thing that Ron used all the time. It was either for future considerations or past considerations. But what it really was circumventing the waiver wire and either acquiring guys from buddies in his league or sending guys to buddies in his league to avoid, to get them the player that they're interested in without having to go through the waivers.
They can't do that anymore. So,
and they can't do, they've closed that loophole. But, you know, he basically gave them to, I don't know, would have been Don Shula?
I believe so, yes.
Still Don Shula, right?
Yeah.
So, and look, Jair Alexander obviously had more success in his 7 years in Green Bay than Terrell Buckley had in his three, but here's one thing they both have in common. They were each respective general manager's first picks.
Yes.
Right? Wasn't Terrell Buckley?
Yes, he was.
Ron Wolf's first selection.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, as much as Ron would have said and would still say, that was what reminded me, I'm not going to draft small corners anymore. He still probably had a special place in Ron's heart. I mean, Ron thought he was going to be like Deion Sanders. I mean, Ron loved him coming out.
Yeah,
like,
would have an impact
on
the locker room.
There's no revisionist history there.
And that's
those things.
And he was just wrong. Terrell Buckley is not that person and was never Deion Sanders. And I would be curious to ask Ron Wolf how he came to that conclusion if they had done research aside from him as a player. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I would say that when it's the first guy you pick, I mean, obviously Ted Thompson felt that with Aaron. So that does, there is something to that, and I'm sure that's part of, you know, and I haven't talked to Ron in a while. I talked to Bob Harlan last week, which was just a joy. I just love talking to him. But I try to, you know, you're one of the old people in my life that I talk to regularly because of the show.
Thank you.
But I try to check in with older folks, and I haven't talked to Ron in way too long. I need to call him. And I would be curious to ask him, you know, what he thinks of what Terrell Buckley was able to do with the remainder of his career. Because I would say that as a personnel evaluator, he would look and go, I should have been more patient, because that guy who I thought was a damn good football player when I drafted him turned out to have a damn good football career. So maybe I wasn't so wrong.
Yeah, the move by Goody is understandable. You can agree or disagree, but the range is, it's just another example that he doesn't gamble on greatness. Because even if you got him for five, how many games? How many great games could Jair Alexander have played this season? Maybe it's five. I guarantee you, he would have played more great games than any cornerback they're going to have on this team. Not good games, not position, great games. You want to join that club?
Sure. Like, there's no doubt that he had greatness within him, but this is the discussion we had for literally months on end of what are you willing to pay for a partial season? And they clearly were unwilling to pay his scheduled salary, knowing that the odds were that he wasn't going to play in all those games.
Yep.
But by the same token, you know, all it takes, and I used to say this about Jimmy Graham, because Jimmy Graham was a terrible signing. Goody totally botched that.
But,
like, he'd have been better off keeping. He'd have been better off keeping Jordy Nelson for a year.
That's right.
But they don't beat Seattle
yep.
in the playoffs without Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
Like, he wins that. What was that? 16, I think.
I don't remember.
They don't win that game without him. And so, yeah, was he a waste of money for much of the season? Sure. But in the end, when the chips were on the table, you won a game that sent you. I mean, that was the year they went to the NFC Championship game when they had no business doing so. Mm-hmm. So,
but I would say this, the last thing I wanted to ask you is that I think it was, in almost all cases, is going to be fundamentally unfair and inaccurate to turn this season into, well, the difference was what they did with Jaire Alexander. I think the possibility that it's going to be that big an issue is possible, but in almost all likelihood, I would say not. They're either going to be that much better because they're young players, some of them got better, or they're just don't have enough greatness. And
yeah,
I guess he'll
they're relying. The bottom line is they are relying on a large group of guys that have followed the Homer rule that you judge when they young guys that you judge when they play well, not when they play poorly. And now they got a bunch of guys at the point where we can't judge them that way anymore.
Yep.
They have to play very well for the vast, vast majority of the season. And if they don't, they're not getting anywhere. That's the reality.
Thanks, Jason. If you do see a picture of Aaron Rodgers' spouse, let me know.
I will. You'll be the first one I text.
Thanks.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde. Terrell Buckley isn't next, but very soon. She's my little baby. Now she's college bound. I see all these hound dogs out there hanging around. American Place Casino. Yep, half hour south of Franklin. Well, 38 minutes if you want to be difficult, or there's probably a place in Franklin that it's 38 minutes. American Place Casino, just a half hour south of Franklin. Did I tell you just a half hour south of Franklin? Located in Lake County, Illinois. Great table games, great slot machines, great sports book, great food. All kinds of, like a Father's Day special. Give Dad the dinner he's been daydreaming about. All right, visit the AP Rewards Club for more details. They got everything. But what they got more than anything is a location, American Place Casino, just a half hour south of Franklin. I've already told you about the comedy shows that they have. Father's Day special, save the date. Never too early to make a Father's Day plans. Treat Dad to North Shore steaks and seafood. 16-ounce ribeye steak with a petite South African lobster tail. Choices, most I've ever said other than how long it is. Choice of jumbo shrimp cocktail or Caesar-ish salad. Who would take the salad? And dessert for only $125. Again, American Place Casino. Just a half hour or 38 minutes south of Franklin. We hope to have Terrell Buckley. He's currently on assignment. Hope we didn't get track of the loss of an hour, but 1-800-990-3776. T-Buck is ready. Joining us now is former Packer Terrell Buckley, who seemed to me the perfect person to talk to regarding the release of Jaire Alexander, because he was Jaire Alexander's coach at Louisville. But more than that, no one understands the disappointment of the Packers saying we need to move on better than Terrell Buckley. T-Buck, good evening.
Good evening. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Am I correct? I got to believe it was disappointing that after 3 years as the fifth overall pick in the draft, when the Packers and Ron Wolf, I don't know how he told you this, traded you to Miami for past considerations. That had to be disappointing.
It was disappointing in the respect that I had just got used to the cold weather. I mean, it took me 3 years to get there. At least give me the opportunity to run out there like Sterling Sharp, HOF, used to do with no sleeves. That's all I wanted to do.
Did you have any discussion with Ron Wolf, or do you just find out? Is that how it works?
You just find out. It depends on, I guess, how much they like you or if it's business. You know, my understanding, it was a straight business decision, money and all that stuff, because it couldn't have been production. I was just an alternate for the Pro Bowl, so that wasn't an issue. And you know what? Talking to Don Shula and going back to Florida, Miami, I was like, okay, let's do it.
Well, and
I was very, very excited about that.
You not only let's do it, you went from 10 interceptions, you added 40 more, finished tied 40. For 35th with 50 interceptions. You're tied 21st for 6 touchdowns off of interceptions. And you do know that you are the most successful interception defensive back for somebody who played for 6 teams. You had 50. Stephon Gilmore is closest with 6 teams. He had 32. So you just basically went and played great, and now it's history. Now you, what, that's all a player can do, right?
That's all you could do. Look at the numbers. And at that time, it's one of those things that back then, once you turn 30, it was like, you know, we can't pay you this money. You sign one-year deals, and you find out the coaches that like you, that really respect your game. So that's how you end up playing for multiple teams. You look at arguably the greatest defensive back. I want to say Deion played for, what, 5? Running a lot. I mean, you got guys that if you play a long time, it's one of those kudos things. That if you don't have a relationship with the owner, like Darryl Green, you know, one of the guys I used to really get advice on was Darryl Green. And he used to tell me how he was to work out. He only practiced one time a week from, I think, year 12 and on. But the relationship he had with the owner, he couldn't move on. He couldn't. And that's one of the one things that I would say that I wish I would have had a real good relationship with the owner or somebody, then you could stay in one place a lot longer.
Well, wherever you went, you did pretty well. And I said, you're the person to talk to. You were Ron Wolf's first pick. Jaire Alexander was the first pick ever of Goody. You were 5th. He's 18th. Now, he got 7 years in Green Bay. But I assumed if he called you, I wanted to be T-Buck for once. I'd say, look, all you got to do is what I did after they let go of me. That's it. Look at my numbers. You do what I did, you'll be fine.
And guess what?
What?
He will. He will be fine. He will be fine. Because the only thing that slowed him down was the injury. I would say, you know, they say you have to decide. And I was telling him, I was a tackler. He was a hitter trying to hit. When you're trying to hit somebody that's 250 pounds, and you 175, 80.
You're going to get hurt.
Something's going to give. Jaire, go up there and make the tackle. I didn't miss many tackles. And I got run over a bunch of times. But I didn't miss them. And I was a reliable tackler. I wasn't a hitter unless I was in cover 2 and caught you in the flat. I would have been a hitter if I would have played in the Tampa 2 system.
All right.
And probably had 15 more people.
Have you talked to Jaire? I don't know how much you talked
to him. No, I have not talked to him yet. I got the news like you guys got. I have heard things. And one thing I don't do, I don't bother guys when that's going on. Now that that's happened, I'm going to reach out.
Can you tell us what you tell him?
I'm going to tell him be thankful. You are tremendously blessed. You just played for one of the greatest organizations in sports. Sometimes, a lot of times, you have to move on. And sometimes it's your choice. Sometimes it's their choice. Sometimes it's mutual. So this sounds like it was mutual because from what I've heard, they wanted him to take a pay cut, and he was like, no. Which I don't blame him, because a healthy Jaire is still one of the best corners in the league, along with Patrick Surtain. the second.
Would you tell him to become a tackler instead of a hitter?
Absolutely.
Have you told him that before and he didn't listen? Yeah.
Well, he plays, he's ferocious. That's what you saw. That's why he's a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, but that injury changed everything.
It did, but you can't, you know, sometimes you have to play, you feel like you have to play a certain way. And that's what I always tell guys, you got to know your game, you got to know your body, you have to know what you're trying to get out of this, because in the end, the NFL stands for not for very long if you're not smart about what you're doing.
And it's no surprise to me, if you had been the GM of the Packers, you'd have wanted him to come back.
100%. And then guess what I would have did? Rehabbed him, took care of him, made sure he was ready to play on Sunday. Not on Wednesday, not on Thursday. Darryl Green was ready to play on Sunday. Reggie White, I played with one of the greatest, best in peace. Reggie White?
Yeah.
How hard do you think Reggie White practiced doing?
I have no idea, but I'm willing to listen.
He wore tennis shoes sometimes. So you tell me.
And no one cared?
No. Not one. Matter of fact, we were like, Reggie, go sit down. We don't even want you out here. Because we need to see you on Sunday. So that's all that matters. All that other stuff where he practices this way, he does this. Nobody cares about that until you don't perform on Sunday. And it boggles my mind when I hear the quote-unquote gurus talk about how they practice and what they do. And then as soon as they don't produce, all that goes out the door.
I just want to let you know that if you were his agent, he's making 16 mil. I'd have said, T-Buck, we want him back, and I'm not paying him 16. It's going to be about 14 or 13 because he's just hurt too much. Would you have accepted? You know, go ahead.
If we'd have had intent, okay, we put it in a way.
Oh.
He plays so many games.
He gets all.
He does it.
Yep.
Yes, he get it back.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure he would not have had a problem with that.
T-Buck, you're the best, and again, among all the other things, still the youngest ever in the NFL for a punt return, 21 years, 105 days.
How about that?
How about that?
And then add this to it, Homer.
Yes.
I had only been there I got there Tuesday. So count them days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
You got there Tuesday of that week.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
coming
that.
Off a cruise. I was on a cruise ship.
All right. Good luck with Mississippi Valley State. Thanks for the time. You're the best.
Thank you. I'll see you in Itabitta soon.
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. Actually, you'll see me in Alabama. I'm not going to Itabitta.
You're not going to Itabitta.
No, I'm going to the road game against Huntsville so I can play some golf in Alabama.
Sounds good to me.
See you then. Bye.
All right.
T-Buck. Next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jason didn't help, but I still say a player, entertainer, football player like Aaron Rodgers to have been married for 4 months and nobody's seen a picture of his spouse, wife, I can't think of any such situation, especially not an American person. Maybe it's somebody from another country or whatever. So if you can see and find a picture, let me know. The Institute, go to work. Yes, I am obsessed. Not because it's Aaron Rodgers. I would say the same thing if it was Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. 4 months and nobody's seen a picture? TMZ, you should be embarrassed. Isn't that what they do? He has a place in California. Wouldn't some of you watch? They'll be watching now. Because he never admitted till now that he was married. He had the ring on at the Derby. So I would say you will see a picture of his spouse within 48 hours. By the way, the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Can Goody and LaFleur have a bad year, and should they still come back? I say yes. 76% agree. Yeah. And we have Rain Man tomorrow, and we're getting close to the end of the competition. It ends at the end of June. We still have 7 best, right?
That's correct.
All you got,
4 tied with 7.
Right. Those people can't compete because they're tied for the lead. But I'm guessing in our final few shows, it's Wednesday, 5 o'clock, beat 7, you could win Cousin Subs for a year. It's the week of the U.S. Open. Let's get some golf. Next.